Albert Camus said there is only one truly serious philosophical question, and that's suicide. Years ago, that idea sparked the single most terrifying moment of Steve Paulson's life.
I was 18 in a college exchange program in Copenhagen, taking a seminar on Kierkegaard, Denmark's own brooding philosopher, and I'd spent the previous year obsessed with a certain group of writers, Kafka, Beckett, Malraux, and above all, Camus and Dostoevsky. They were my guys, those bleak, depressing European writers. One night in Copenhagen, I was sitting up in bed reading The Myth of Sisyphus, Camus' meditation on suicide and why he thinks we should keep on living even in an absurd world. Camus quoting Dostoevsky's novel, The Possessed, talking about a character named Kirillov, a nihilist who thinks suicide makes logical sense. It is for an idea, a thought, that he's getting ready for death, Camus says. This is the superior suicide. Kirillov takes his pistol and kills himself. That night, I played a thought experiment. I imagined being Kirillov. I imagined holding a gun to my head, and I slowly pulled the trigger. And it became absolutely real. And everything started spinning really fast in my head, spinning round and round. Everything was swirling around, like getting sucked into a vortex. And I remember panicking, and I remember if I stayed in that space even a few seconds longer, something was going to snap in my head. So I let go. The whole episode was over in a flash. It lasted maybe half a minute, maybe a little bit longer. I remember shaking. I remember feeling like I dodged a real bullet. But here's the strange thing about that experience. I've never actively contemplated suicide. I've never thought of myself as depressed. Even when I was 18, I was lonely, really lonely at times, but it was never crippling. I never felt hopeless. If I had to describe what I felt back then, it was metaphysical pain. There can be something seductive about entering into this pain, at least it was for me that night. When you catch a glimpse of the path you're on, the track that's been laid out for you for your whole life, school, career, success, and how it's covering up some profound emptiness underneath. What if you step into that void with total honesty, without any sugarcoating? How would it feel? That's the question Camus asked. I've lived two-thirds of my life since that year in Denmark. I'm now 53 with a job I like very much, and I haven't felt that kind of existential angst for decades. But lately I've been wondering how much of that younger self is still part of me today. A few weeks ago, I had a long plane flight ahead of me, so I brought along a copy of The Myth of Sisyphus. You know, but it mostly holds up. I mean, there are a few things that strike me as a young man's manifesto, especially Camus' declaration that what counts is not the best living, but the most living, the accumulation of primal experiences. When I was 18, I read that as a commandment. And it's worth remembering that Camus himself was still in his 20s when he wrote The Myth of Sisyphus. The book was not written by someone who's looking back on a long life. For me, the real revelation of rereading The Myth of Sisyphus was to see how completely different Camus' historical moment was. Not just that it was France during World War II, but the whole intellectual climate was so charged. Philosophical ideas really seemed to be matters of life and death. To read Camus is to peer into a world before neuroscience came to dominate our thinking about happiness and depression, about finding the will to live, about how we construct meaning in our lives. I do wonder if today's obsession with trying to explain everything through science gives us a false understanding, as if a science of the brain can fill that existential void. Camus would have found no such comfort. Thinking back to that terrifying night in Denmark 35 years ago conjures up a mix of emotions. Real sadness for how lonely and alienated I felt, but also amazement that a single book, The Myth of Sisyphus, could have such an impact. I mean, for decades, no book has grabbed me with anything close to the ferocity that Camus did. I don't think any book could. There's simply too much life experience that mediates and filters my reading experience. It softens it. And I say this as someone who loves books. I'm surrounded by stacks of books at home and at work. But there's no book anymore that can turn my whole world upside down.
Reflections from our executive producer, Steve Paulson.